The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
You know, Numbers 33 is an interesting chapter. We have a saying about wandering in the wilderness, and that describes maybe if somebody goes through a season of life where, you know, they're trying to figure something out. Well, that's related to Israel's wandering in the wilderness. There's also in Numbers 33 a reference to one of the plagues back from Exodus chapter 12 about the Egyptians. We'll get to that, but we want to welcome you to Exploring the Word. We invite you to get a copy of God's Word and turn to the Old Testament book of Numbers, and we'll continue just about to wrap up our study of a book that I think oftentimes it maybe gets a little bit neglected. I don't know that a lot of times there's too much preaching or teaching from out of Numbers, and there should be more because it is a book rich with gospel truth, and it is a big, big part of the salvation story. And Bert, it's good to be going through this book and to, you know, refresh ourselves with some things from God's work in history that need to be preserved and remembered.
It is, Alex. And one of the things that really impresses me about the book is the definitive details about the two numberings, about how many they were, where they were from, when they numbered the people to begin, and that's how it gets its numbers. They were taking a census of 20-year-olds ready to go to war in the first part, and they did it again in the latter part of Numbers. And now in chapter 33, it's kind of like a list of all the places they've been. And again, chapter 33, but it ends up, and I'm projecting ahead a little bit. I love this, the instructions to conquer the land. In other words, it's consistent. Okay, I brought you out to go in, but you were derailed, you were detoured. And so in doing that, he finally gets to verse 50, where we'll get to later, then tell him, this is what you're to do. You're to go in to the land and take that land. So, Alex, I love chapter 33. I'd say it was a book about the journey reviewed and the instructions for victory. And so chapter 33, verse 1 and 2, I think it's important to start out with. Each place, no, but we could pick up on some things that happened at each one. These are the journeys of the children of Israel who went out of the land of Egypt by the armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. Now Moses wrote down the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Lord, and these are their journeys according to their starting points. They departed from Ramses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, on the day after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with boldness in the sight of all the Egyptians. Now, Alex, again, notice the details. Here it is. They're not afraid to give the journeys of each place they went to. The details about when it started, on the first month, the 15th day. So this is the details that you find in the Word of God, that they're not afraid to say this is what happened. It also says concerning the future what would happen sometimes, but here it's not afraid to go back and recount the history that took place. I don't know about everybody else, but that just gives me iron in my spiritual blood for the Word of God, Alex.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, it's interesting, Bert, how numbers, there are censuses and there's numberings. This is a meticulous record, as you alluded to. I mean, think about this, 40 places from leaving Ramses in Egypt till they arrived at the plains of Moab, 56 verses, and they document really 40 places that they stop along their journey. And, you know, I don't know, Bert, you and I have talked about the significance of numbers in Scripture, and the definitive book on that is by a man named E.W. Bullinger. 40 generally means a time of testing, doesn't it? Does my memory serve me?
It is. It's been used several times. And these, there are significant numbers. Some numbers are just reporting the numbers of this, how many fish they were.
Was it 153 fish?
I think you're right, if I remember correctly. But here, 40 days, when a number is used and you see it being used again and again, pay attention. Pay a lot of attention.
Yeah, exactly. I did think it was interesting, like in verse 3, and they departed from Ramses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month. On the morrow, after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with a high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. Okay, we'll remember the very, very first Passover observance, which for the Egyptians and for those that did not have the blood on the doorpost of their house, it was the death of the firstborn male baby. Verse 4, for the Egyptians buried all their firstborn, which the Lord had smitten among them upon their gods. Also the Lord executed judgments. Now, verse 3, they went out with boldness, a high hand, the old King James says, with boldness, with spoils. And remember, Pharaoh had said, I will not let you go, I will not let you go. And then finally they were told, get on out of here. You know, I mean, really.
And but, he would take that back, and it would, hey, when you take your word back, there's a price to pay, and his whole army paid the price, didn't they?
Well, that's true. And so they leave, and verse 5 says, the children of Israel removed from Ramses and camped in Sukkoth. Some translations say they pitched a tent or they camped. Bert, for the Christian, there's very little permanent residence. Especially, I know you've interviewed a lot of missionaries, and I know you and I both in the pastorate and in the mission, we stay on the go. People are always asking me about, you know, my life is airports, pulpits, and hotel rooms a lot of time. But really, notice they 40 places they camped. It'll say they removed from Kadesh and they camped here. There's just not a lot of permanence, because life for the Christian, no matter who you are, it's a journey.
Amen.
And remember, I'll say this, I thought to you, Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. See, the cities down here, much as we love them, but there's none with permanent foundations. We're on a journey to the true city, our true home, and we're to take as many folks with us as we can.
Amen. Dig your spiritual roots deep. Do not dig your geographical roots too deep, that you are completely uprooted when God says, I want you somewhere else. Notice that all the great men of God were able to be mobile, able. Now, he didn't ask them to do that all the time, but they were ready. One thing, I want to go back to verse 4 real quick, lapse. Won't take me a moment. But notice the last phrase in chapter 4. I think it is significant. Also, on their gods, the Egyptian gods, little G-O-D-S, of course, the Lord had executed judgment. I want to remind everyone, all the 10 plagues had something to do with a god that the Egyptians worshipped.
That's true.
It was demonstrating God's power. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he is God. There's no one besides him. And then you go through and you find out the Red Sea. You find out all the places they went. They camped there for a while. They passed through the midst of the sea. All along this journeys, we find out God's provision for them, Alex. We find out at one place their shoes, their sandals, rather, didn't wear out, their clothes. It was an amazing journey, and God was there with them, guiding them. You remember, a pillar and fire, cloud and fire, guiding them. And so, and that also represented the very presence of God in their midst. Even though they had missed out on God, what he wanted them to do at Kadesh Barnea, yes, one generation had to die out, but he was there in their midst, wasn't he?
Well, he really was. And let me say this, Bert. He was always in their midst. a lot of these place names are very illustrative. Mara and Elam, there were 12 fountains of water. They camped by the Red Sea. In verse 11, this is worth talking about because what a wordplay this is, really. They removed from the Red Sea and encamped in the wilderness of Sin. Now, what's interesting, S-I-N, there's a capital S, and this is a geographical place, not a moral comment, but yet we know when there is sin, the way hamartia is the Greek word, there is separation from God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Really, I think it's interesting because this place that they were complaining about a lack of water at this place, but the wilderness of Sin, S-I-N, is this narrow plain. It's called El Marca, which is on the eastern shore of the Red Sea and goes into some mountains. But yet, Sin is a wilderness. While this is about geography, if we wander away from the Lord and get into overt sin, we will find ourselves out in the wilderness, won't we?
We will. Good point, Alex. Now, notice what happens, that not only the wilderness Sin, but in verse 15, the wilderness Sinai. There were significant things that would happen at several of these locations, but there was something that was happening in all of them. We don't have the details on each and every spot, but here's the significant part. Moses kept up with it. He kept this diary. He kept this, and he could go over, and he said, this is where we moved from and where we went to, from here to there, and they camped here, they camped there. And so this is the journey that God took them on after they had, messed up at Kadesh Barnea. If you look at it, 11 days. Now, God was going to take more time than that in his plans to give them the law and everything. But it's 11 days journey from Egypt crossing over and going into the promised land if they were to move at the best rate they could. But in place of 11 days, it was 40 years. And so, Listen, what you want to do, you want to go not just where God wants you to, but the best thing is to do it when God tells you to. You're just talking about how your life is airports. Alex, it's good to know where you're going, but it's also important to know when you need to be at the airport so you can get on the plane to go, isn't it?
Well, it is. It is. I mean, you've got to know. I've thought about this before, and salvation, of course, is the most important thing in life, to know that there's been that time that you personally put your faith in Jesus Christ. And, there have been times when I was stuck in traffic and I was late getting to the airport. And I mean, you're really sweating bullets saying, oh, I got to get there on time. I don't want the plane to leave without me. But imagine the horror to live your life and, I've had people say to me, well, I'm going to do the best I can and I'll just take my chances. I'm like, no, the Word of God says you must be born again. The Bible also warns there's a way that seemeth right to a man, the end of which are the ways of death. I mean, once or twice I've missed a plane. That's bad. But imagine missing salvation, the horror, the sadness. Folks, don't do it. You can make sure by calling on Jesus today.
He is the way, the truth, and the life. The only way you can come to God is through Jesus Christ. There's not a plan B. There's not an alternate route. It's Jesus and only Jesus. We'll be back with more right after this break. I want you to picture this. Her name is Kayla. She is 17, alone, terrified, and pregnant. Sitting in a clinic, tears blurring, thinking abortion is her only option. Until she was offered a free ultrasound, paid for by a hero just like you. The moment Kayla heard her baby's heartbeat, the decision was made. And today, her little baby boy, Gabriel, is thriving because her preborn walked with Kayla every step of the way. Now, multiply that by 38,000. That's how many babies preborn has helped save just this year.
how many mothers Preborn has come alongside with practical and spiritual resources to make motherhood possible. But here's the most important thing you will hear today. Their goal is to save 70,000 by the end of the year. And they can't do it without us. Every $28 provides the ultrasound the moment everything changes. Will you be the reason the next Kayla chooses life? The reason Gabriel fulfills his destiny? To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
The praises don't stop. The devil's been dropped. There's some good news coming straight from the top. You saved me from the fire. Lifted me higher. Feeling so good. Gonna sing it with the choir. The king is alive. Alive.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Brent Austin is over there jamming with that, Alex. He loves that.
That's some good music.
It is. He looks like he could play the drums to it, so I think he does. But anyway, hey, listen, we missed you yesterday. I'm glad you got home. But Tim Todd was with us, and, of course, he is once a year at least to kick off the National Truth for Youth Bible Week. And we had a great day yesterday. Tim stayed with us the whole time. But we want to remind people, you can give away Bibles. If you will call 800-733-4737, and if you'll say, I want one of the Bibles, and when I get it, I will give it to a student from 13 to 18 years old. And that's what we're trying to do. We've been working with Revival Fires International for, this is the 25th year. Our goal is to give away 65,000 Bibles. We've already given away 1.3 million Bibles in the first 24 years, but we want to add to that. And listen to this, Alex, more than 30,000 students have come to Christ in the last 24 years using these Truth for Youth Bibles.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, what a blessing. And listen, Tim Todd is just a great evangelist. I'm glad that he was on with you yesterday while I was stuck on an airplane, but listen, the Truth for Youth Bibles are so good, and I can personally attest, we have used those in our youth events. Bert, several years ago, we got, 300-400 in English and about 250 in Spanish, and we had a big outdoor event, and they were gone in 5 minutes. And Bert, what a blessing, because what it is, it's God's Word, but there's also a portion, and we don't say comic book, it's graphic novel. It's funny, Bert, I was just in Iowa, had a great event out there, and I was talking to a number of youth, and they love these graphic novels. And so the Truth for Youth Bibles, in addition to the scriptures as printed, but they have the life of Jesus and the gospel story. And like I say, I know from watching hundreds of teenagers instantly sitting down and reading, just riveted to hear the gospel and how to be saved. And so, Bert, this is great. How can people give and underwrite these Truth for Youth Bibles?
Okay, they're asking more than anything that you order one that's already been purchased and give it to a youth. But if you want that and you want to order several, we have a lady that said she wants to help exploring the Word, you and me, to have these Bibles to give, and we're receiving those. We're excited. And how she did that, she called 800-733-4737. That's 800-733-4737. Or you can go online at tfy.org, tfy.org, and make your order now. And so that if you're going to do by phone, you need to do it before 4 o'clock. But this is what we want you to do, and this is important. This is God's work. It's us teaming together, cooperating together to get the gospel. Students can hand out these Bibles in their public school. That's part of it. And the students' rights are listed on the back page
Amen.
Of that Bible so you can have it. So I pray that you'll do that. Do it for your youth. They might not be able to do so, but you can order that for them and let them give it to someone. And sometimes youth ministers, they order them by the bulk, and they distribute it with a youth group, and then the youth group takes that to school and gives it away. What a way to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is missional, Alex.
Amen. Well, this is just wonderful. And, you know, Brent Austin called me earlier today, and he told me that a dear listener wanted to put some of those in our hands. And I can. You want to hear what I'm going to do with the ones that I get?
I'm ready. Let me see. Is a camp coming up sometime, anytime soon?
Our last youth camp of the summer is in upstate, and I really mean upstate, New Jersey, on the New Jersey-New York State boundary, up in what's called the Hudson River Valley. We were there last year for the first time. It's a Shiloh Christian Camp, had a fantastic camp there last summer. And week after next, it'll be our final camp of the summer, and we'll have, I don't know, about 150 people up there. And so I'm going to, you know, if we get them in time, and I hope we do, I'm taking, so every teenager in upstate New Jersey and New York that comes to our camp will get that, and we'll have a chance to respond to the gospel. But we just love Revival Fires Ministries and Tim Todd. And folks, thank you. Bert, that number again, in 25 years, did you say a million?
1.3 million in 24 years this year. Our
wow.
goal is 65,000. And again, let me give you this information. You can go online at tfy.org, or you can call 800-733-4737. If you're going to do it today, you need to do it before 4 o'clock. That means you got about 30 minutes. So
yeah.
Make that call. Do it now, and I believe you'll be blessed.
Well, hey,
go ahead, Alex.
Well, are we down into the 50s yet? You know, there's the 40 places, and really 50 through 56 is kind of the summary
That's it.
Statement.
Let me do in 49. Notice this. I think this is the place that ends, because this is where the action is going to start in the book of Joshua. They camped by the Jordan from Beth Jessamoth as far as Abel Akeah Grove in the plains of Moab. Now, what you'll want to do, if you go over to Joshua chapter 3, and you'll find out that's where they launched out from to cross the Jordan River. So this is a detailed from Ramses in Egypt all the way to the Jordan River, ready to cross over, Alex. Then you come to verse 50. Go ahead.
Amen. Well, you know, the Canaanites are to be expelled from the land. God tells them, while they're at Moab near Jericho, God says to Moses, speak to the children of Israel and say unto them, when you are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all their pictures and their molten images. Now, these pictures in verse 32, these are idols, you know. These are the false gods, because let's remember, God is raising up Israel, and the Savior, Jesus, will be born through the Israelite people. And verse 53, dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I've given you the land to possess it. And Bert, even this morning, I was reading the headlines about the battle over Gaza and Israel. By the way, I believe in Israel's right to exist as a nation. I believe in Israel's right to self-defense and self-determination. I don't think the nation of Israel should be, you know, told what to do by the UN or anything like that. And I believe that the land that they have really been promised by God for thousands and thousands of years, you know, we hear about the rights of indigenous people. There is no more indigenous people on the earth than the Israelites
Amen.
In the land of Israel.
And we're going to get to that in chapter 34. I'm just looking ahead.
Yeah.
And he's going to give the boundaries, the south, the west, the north, and the east. And so this is where he's at. So this is it was God's land to give to whom he would. And he gave it to the Jewish people, Alex. Good word.
Amen. Now, there's a warning in 55 and 56. And there's just a fantastically ironic word coincidence that I'm going to bring out. Maybe it's not a coincidence. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes, or the word is irritants in your eyes, and thorns in your side. There's yet another euphemism or saying, something is a, boy, that's really a thorn in his side, meaning a problem. Well, this comes straight out of God's word. And the wording there, Bert, I've read in commentaries, it could mean like a burr under the saddle.
Yeah.
You know, if a thorn got under the saddle between the horse and the saddle, that would really, you know, cut and make him bleed and be painful. And shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. Now, Bert, let me share something that is just so ironic. I love to kind of dive down the rabbit hole and look at words. Okay, in the King James, if they don't drive out the Canaanites, it says it will be pricks in your eyes. Well, I looked that up, and it means an irritant.
Right.
And if I got to tell you, if you've ever gotten something in your eye, you got to stop everything to get that out. It hurts, right?
You bet.
Well, all right. Has anybody ever heard of LASIK surgery? LASIK, which means laser assisted in situ keratomelusis. Bert, you've probably heard of LASIK surgery, right?
Yes.
To correct a vision problem. Now, God says to Israel, look, drive out those Canaanites, or it's going to be like a vision problem, an irritant. Okay, now LASIK is an acronym for, you know, when they work on the cornea to restore your vision. So I looked up this the word. It says it shall be pricks in your eyes. Do you know what the Greek word for that is?
I do not.
LASIK.
Surprise, surprise.
Isn't that amazing? Now, in the Greek, it's not an acronym. But it means, you know, something that obstructs or harms your vision. And it's the Greek word LASIK. And I just wonder, whoever, when they developed that when the FDA approved that surgery and they created the acronym, the commercial name, I wonder if they were, you know, riffing off of the actual Greek word. Anyway, what's our lesson? Deal thoroughly with sin.
Amen.
Be thorough in your obedience.
And God puts that to them. And later on in the book of Joshua, you follow up, and I don't think we're going to do Joshua next. Alex and I are still praying where to go, but Joshua is the natural follow-up to the book of Numbers. And you'll find out that they didn't drive them all out. And guess what? They were irritants in their eyes, they were thorns in their side, and they harassed them the whole time they were there.
Mm-hmm.
So God gave them that. And the warning in verse 56, moreover it shall be that I will do to you as I thought to do to them. Listen, obedience is a blessing. It really is. And when we disobey God, there's consequences, and the consequences are great. And Alex, I look at this in verses 55 and 56. I want you to comment. It looks like God has purpose for them.
Mm-hmm.
Live up. God has a purpose for you who are listening today. You don't want to miss out on it. When you miss out on it, there's going to be irritants. When you miss out on it, there's going to be difficulties and thorns, and you're going to wish you had of. And you know, so obey the Lord as best you can. No one's perfect. No one gets it exactly. We walk by faith and not by sight. So there's going to be some, okay, here, I didn't do that, but learn the lesson well and follow God. So moreover, what a warning. You don't want to miss this, because like I've done to them, you're going to be missing out on your land as well, Alex.
You know, hindsight is 20/20, as the old saying goes. And, of course, we know that a sovereign God rules over history. Bert, I think about the Six-Day War of 1967 and a lot of the leaders back then. You know, this last week we were at the Billy Graham Center, the Cove, and while I was up there, I went through some of the archives. There were pictures of Billy Graham with Golda Meir, who was at one time Prime Minister of Israel. And, you know, I remember hearing about what went on at the Yom Kippur War of 1973. Israel was attacked. The Six-Day War in 1967, Israel was attacked, unprovoked. But General Moshe Dayan, I think many people will remember him. You know, he had a patch over one eye. And he famously said that he trained his soldiers for the Israeli Defense Fund by having them read the Old Testament and make copious notes about every mountain, tree, geographical reference, every river. And but here's the thing. In 1967, Israel took the old city of Jerusalem, and that includes the Temple Mount, where the Dome of the Rock Mosque is. And they, maybe they were trying to be collegial, but for some reason they let the Muslims retain the, it's a couple of acres, the Temple Mount. So there, right smack in the middle of the old city, is the Temple Mount. And someday there'll be a third temple erected on that mountain. Anyway, my point is, in the nearly 60 years that have elapsed since the Six-Day War, allowing not the Canaanites or Amalekites, but allowing the Palestinians, which really means Philistines, to remain in the city, it hasn't brought peace. It's been a constant vexation and ultimately loss of life. Bert, I think about this, that what Adrian Rogers would say, delayed obedience is disobedience, partial obedience is disobedience, and selective obedience is disobedience. For Israel of old, Israel today, and certainly for each of us, there's a lesson in those words, isn't there?
There really is. I learned from Life Action Ministries, a great ministry, to obey the Lord is do what God says, all that God says, and when God says it.
Amen.
And with a right heart attitude. Real quickly, we're going to introduce this. Hadn't got but about 1 minute left. Chapter 34 introduces us the boundaries. And you can read over that, and there's those boundaries from the south. How far south do you go? And then the west was easy, the Mediterranean Sea. And then they go north, and it goes all the way to Mount Hor. This is where Aaron would have died. And then the east, it goes over. And that is basically the dividing point. That's where they're looking at. And so when you read that and you see the proximity of what was there, what is there now, Israel has never always occupied that total area. And they are to do that. And that was between 9.5 tribes. 2.5 of those tribes were on the east side of the river, but they were to occupy the land. Hey, it's a day of prayer. If you got a prayer request, that number, 888-589-8840.
Some would say truth is relative, and to the world, that's right. What the world considers to be truth fluctuates depending on the narrative they're trying to promote. Of course, we know truth is found in Scripture, and it never changes. The documentary, The God Who Speaks, proves the Bible's reliability as the source of real truth and reinforces our belief in it as our firm foundation. Watch it anytime at stream.afa.net. That's stream.afa.net.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
It's Truth for Youth Bible Week. We'll give one free Truth for Youth Bible to every student between the ages of 13 and 18 who promises to pass it along to a friend. With it, more than 30,000 young people have come to Christ over the years.
So I tried to commit suicide and I was put in the hospital. One of my friends from school, she came up to me and just started visiting with me at the hospital, and she gave me a Truth for Youth Bible, so I haven't been the same since.
The Truth for Youth Bible consists of the entire New Testament and full-color comics, which present the gospel and moral truths. Parents can order the Bible on behalf of their son or daughter, or teens can call to get one.
We saw so many lives changed and seeds planted in the hearts of our students.
Visit tfy.org anytime or call 800-733-4737. That's 800-733-4737 between 8:30 a.m. and 4 p.m. to order or donate.
Thank you so much for making this book. It has truly changed my life.
What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. 1 Corinthians 2:9.
American Family Radio.
Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees well out the floor. Don't stop believing.
Yes, it's the day of prayer. If you've got a prayer request, we want to hear it. We're praying for truth. For Youth Bible Week to be a success, 65,000. But if you've got a prayer request, we want you to call. That number, if you'll call, is 888-589-8840. Your Bible question or your prayer request. We'd love to hear from it. But Alex, let me give those that number, and or you may want to give it the number and the website that people can get these Bibles. And if they want to order them in bulk, by the way, they're just $2 a piece. And he sells them at his cost. That's what Tim does. That's awesome, isn't it?
It is. It is. So if you want to donate a Bible or be a part of the Truth for Youth Bible Week, okay, here's the number. It's 800-733-4737. That's 800-733-4737. The website is, Bert, if I have this correct, tfy.org.
That's exactly right.
As in truth
for youth. That's it.
And, you know, having used these in my youth camps and youth outreaches, I mean, they are fantastic. Kids will read them. You want to get teenagers into the Word of God? These are so well produced and easy to read. The typeset is just very engaging. And also, on the cover, it's legally, do you know youth can carry these to school? They can share God's word with their friends. And Bert, I think our goal is to underwrite 65,000 Bibles this week. I will tell you, if everybody listening to this show right now would call and give a Truth for Youth Bible, I mean, we could probably do, you know, 100 times that, literally. So let's do that. Let's, Bert, we need the Word of God, and studies have shown that teenagers are hungry for God's Word. Every year since COVID, they estimate right now that three-fourths of all Gen Z and younger strongly agreed, quote, I would like to learn more about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, this will help them do it, won't it?
It really will. So make that call today, 800-733-4737, or go online at tfy.org. Well, Alex, we've got people that's called in. You ready to go to the phone lines?
Let's see. We're going to go to Kentucky. Andrew in Kentucky. And Andrew, that's a Bible name you've got there.
Yes, sir, and just want to make a quick comment. I am an evangelist from Central Kentucky. We've been preaching for 6 years. I've lived in Central Kentucky my entire life. We've preached in around 50 different churches. And when you were talking about, you know, becoming a missionary and moving, just the Lord started dealing with my heart several months ago, and I started trying to sweep these thoughts out and things, you know, scared to move. And I guess you guys gave me a little bit of confirmation today that we actually listed our house for sale yesterday. And when Bert was talking about your geographical roots, it just gave me the confirmation, the peace that I needed about it. So I just want to tell you guys how much I appreciate it. And we're going to be moving to share the gospel in a different location. So thank you very much.
Andrew, don't hang up. We want to pray for you before you hang up, brother. You've blessed us today. And I want to tell you what Alex does, travel all the time and have what he does, and evangelist. I don't know how to say it. I admire you. I appreciate you more than you can ever know. And I want to pray for you, Andrew. Is that okay, Amen. Brother?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Father, I thank you for Andrew. When we look at the Andrew in the Bible, he's always bringing somebody to Jesus. And what a Bible name it is. And sounds like Andrew's living up to Amen. His name. And Amen. I pray, God, that you would move him where you would desire him to be. And, Father, his family, just bless them. And, Father, may you increase men like Andrew and Alex that are on the move for you. I know I do some, but not like these guys do. I pray you'd bless them, use them for your glory. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Andrew. Amen.
Stay in touch with us, brother. Mary in Kansas. Mary, thank you for holding. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to ask you to pray for the beginning of the college terms or universities, whatever, because the enemies had all summer to get their supplies ready to meet those young people that they want to harass. And also I want to pray for the parents that have been taken from their children. There's been several cases where parents have been killed and the children are left.
Yeah.
And I just feel like the enemy's trying to take away the normal family so they can be disturbed. So that's my request.
Mary, that's great insight, isn't it? It really is. We see Satan attacking the family. Always has and always will continue. And we're seeing that happen. But pray for students going back to school as well. Yes. I know my grandchildren, and we're just praying for them and other students. So we do want to pray for that, Mary, don't we, Alex?
We really do. In fact, I want to do it right now. I wrote a book. I do a seminar called What You'll Hear Your Freshman Year, Preparing for the Ways That College Will Challenge Your Faith. And on the bookshelf behind me, I see a copy of The Way Tyndale titled it is Stand Strong in College. And it's really kind of a book that I wrote about how to graduate from college without losing your Christian faith. And Mary, you make a great point, because the irony is the American classroom that was, do you know, Bert, more in history, more Christians have started more colleges than all of the other groups ever combined. There have been state universities, and there have been different entities that, for one reason or another, created a learning institution. Christianity has birthed more schools, colleges, grad schools, medical schools, law degrees. The church has birthed more colleges than all other entities combined. And yet, in many a case, the classroom is a place that denigrates God and country and family. And so let me pray for this. May I, Bert?
Go right ahead, brother.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we know that you call us to learn, that we are to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, and Lord, that we are to read your word and grow. Lord, Proverbs 1:7 tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and you've called all people to be lifelong learners. But Lord Jesus, sadly, in many an American college campus, it's woke, it's liberal, it's atheistic, it's evolution, it's Darwin, it's revisionism. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for the Holy Spirit of God to sweep across America. And, Lord, many Christian young people are going to be in some very shark-infested waters. So guard their heart and mind and soul. And, Lord, the college campus needs to be reclaimed for truth, and the one who is the foundation of truth, which is you, Lord Jesus. So I pray against the darkness that has taken over many a classroom, and Lord, we pray for the light of the gospel, that people would not be after a degree only, but people would be questing for truth. And we ask it in Jesus' name, and ultimately for your kingdom and your word and your glory. We commit this season of students of every age to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Alex. Where to next?
Texas. We love Texas. Mary in Texas, you are on Exploring the Word.
Hello.
Hello there. Welcome.
Thank you. I would like to ask for prayer for my mother. She's 91. She was very independent until 3 weeks ago. She fell and broke her hip.
Oh.
And so I just would like to pray for healing for her and wisdom for me as far as her future living situation.
Oh. Thank you, Mary. Listen, 91 years old, what a blessing it is to live that long without having assistance. Well, as long as we're praying for mothers, Brent, are you ready to share the name of your mother-in-law? We want to pray for her as well, right?
I am. It's Miss Janice Bigham. Some of you may remember us mentioning she'd had a liver transplant a couple of years ago. Well, now they've found something in her bone marrow that I'm not sure exactly if it's bone marrow failure or if it's leukemia or what it is, but she's in really good spirits. She knows her Jesus very, very well.
Amen. Amen. Well, Alex, all right, if I pray for these two?
Yes, lead us.
Father, we thank you for mothers. What a blessing. God, when you gave us the family and you gave mothers that they carry this baby 9 months and father's delivered and that child is born, I don't care how old that mother might be at 91 or wherever they are, how special they are. And I'm praying for Mary's mom that you would help her, help Mary in decisions. It's always tough when it's like that. And we're praying for Brent's mother-in-law, God. I know that they found that, but Father, she knows you, and she's told Brent and Stephanie, we're all right. But Father, we're praying that they would find out and be able to correct it. We pray that you'd be with other mothers that we know are hurting and suffering, and we pray you'd strengthen these in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bert. We're going to go to Kentucky. Seth in Kentucky. It's like every caller has a Bible name today. Seth, welcome.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate y'all's show. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thank you, brother.
I'm just calling with a simple prayer request for me and my family. I'm just facing some difficult decisions right now on anything from career to just what I need to do next from day to day. And I'm just struggling right now, and if y'all could pray for me, I'd really appreciate it.
Well, brother, yes, Seth, there's going to be seasons. Let me just say a word of encouragement, and then I know Alex would want to pray, but there's going to be seasons of difficulty. The book of Peter, both 1st and 2nd Peter, they go through that, and there's these times when it happens. What a time to draw close to the Lord. Look in His Word. Let me just suggest, read Proverbs very thoroughly and look for leadership in God's Word. And Alex, when I've had these times in my life, I spend more time in Psalms and Proverbs. I tell you that when I'm going through those difficult, hard times, it seems like God just takes that through His Holy Spirit and plugs it into my heart for encouragement, but also direction.
Seth, and let me say this, a great Billy Graham quote, and I love Billy Graham, but he said, God's priorities don't conflict. And I will just say this, you know, Angie and I had our anniversary a week ago. We've now started 37 years, our 37th year. Bert, between the call of God, responsibilities with school and ministry and church, and now, you know, book deadlines and travel, and then we had the privilege, and it was a privilege, of looking after three elderly parents, shepherding my mother and dad and my dear mother-in-law, shepherding all three through their final days, settling their...
Okay, Alex, we'll try to make sure we get him back. Every once in a while, it fails. But we are praying, and Alex is exactly right. There are seasons of these difficulties that come in our lives. Sometimes there's financial and relational. Alex, I know you're back where you were talking about. You were talking about shepherding your parents and Angie's mother. Go right ahead and then pray for Seth.
Yeah, on more than a few occasions, I've had insolvable dilemmas about responsibilities, and whenever I've been at an impasse and I just didn't know what to do, I would wait. And I'm only speaking for myself, but when there's no good decision, you have to wait and pray and maybe sleep on it. And I will testify, Bert, in 37 years that...
Okay. We hate that when that happens, but Alex will be in 37 years. I'm finished that. God is faithful. So, Seth, I'm just going to pray for you, and Alex will probably be back on in a minute. We'll make sure. If not, we'll continue on. Father, I thank you for Seth, and I pray, God, that you would help him during this difficult time. It is difficult. I've been there. Alex has been there, but you've been faithful. And just as Alex was talking about shepherding his parents into this time of declining health, even into their entry into heaven, Father, you will shepherd your people. And I pray for Seth and his family, God, that you would direct them, that he would depend upon you and watch you and trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. Alex, Amen. Are you back?
I'm back.
Okay.
Sorry for that dropout. I don't know what happened.
Well, it's happening, but we got time for one more call. Who is it?
Let's go to Greg in Mississippi. Greg?
Hey, yes, sir. Praise the Lord. I may not have a biblical name, but I'm right there in that great congregation.
Hey, you get an A for that. That's good, Greg. Go ahead, man.
Just had a praise report. Prayed last Tuesday this time about my brother and sister kind of drifted apart after election. And we connected a couple of days later, and I just been walking on cloud nine and just want to call in and give the good report. God bless you guys. We love you.
Amen, Greg. That Amen. Was you and Jeff that got that prayer request, I understand, Alex. Isn't that awesome? Don't you love praises for prayer requests, too? You know, they need to go together, don't they? Okay, Alex is not there, I guess, again. So we're just trusting the Lord. We're hoping that he'll have a better connection tomorrow. But every once in a while, it just happens. And we always say his voice is up in the air somewhere, but it's going to land. And so thank you for listening to Exploring the Word here on the American Family Radio Network. Tomorrow, yeah. We're going to look at chapter 34. And then in chapter 35, I think that's the highlight of the last few chapters, Alex. We're going to get into what is called the Cities of Refuge. I love that teaching, brother.
I do too. Yeah, we're going to lay hands on this machine and pray. But thanks, everybody, listening. And thank you for supporting the Truth for Youth Bible Initiative. Again, that number, if you want to send a Bible to a teenager, 800-733-4737 or tfy.org. May God bless you. Tell somebody about AFR. Most of all, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.